What's going on, everybody? We're live from the 2019 National in Chicago with Susan from Top. Susan, what's going down?
You were like the first person here at the show to call me Susan.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
So it goes Suze?
Suze.
Okay.
Suze, I wasn't sure who was on the show. I was confused for a second.
You're all, wait, where's Susan? It was like a Wade Jones moment from the Dwayne Wade thing. But yeah, we're excited to have you on, and we'll start off talking about Topps' plans at the show. You guys are doing the Bowman Pack again, and let everybody know out there that's on the fringe of coming down to the show what they can expect from Topps at the National.
So Topps is like our booth. First of all, when you have tired feet, Topps is the booth you want to go to, because our carpeting is like plush carpeting. It's like literally going from like walking on concrete all day to like walking on clouds.
Wow, nice.
So for a little rest, you're going to want to come by the Topps booth. But for some Pack Wars, come by for Pack Wars. We have the Rapper Redemption, which includes exclusive Bowman refractors that you can't get anywhere else.
Nice.
Come by for that.
Nice.
We have signings with Graham Elliott, the chef, who is in Allen and Ginter. We have signings with Hunter Green, the Reds prospect. And we also have a signing with an artist, his name is Greg. I always say his last name wrong, but it's Greg. He draws the portraits for the 150 years of baseball sets that we do on Topps.com.
Nice.
And we have a Jackie Robinson card that he had done available for sale, and he will be here signing fine art prints of those as well.
Nice, nice. So you're talking about is anybody taking a nap on the carpet? Is it that comfortable?
You know what? In years past, we have had people who were like literally like laid across the carpet. We're like, hey,
yeah.
Can you at least go to the side?
Yeah, like, right in the middle. People are trying to step over you, you know, might knock down the booth, but
We also have our Gary V set that we did a collaboration with Gary V, and he picked all the cards that went in the set, like the subsets, the players, the designs, and those are for sale at our booth too for $20.
Awesome. Have you got a chance to sit down with Gary V yet?
I saw him yesterday. He was wheeling and dealing, very busy.
Does that guy drink a lot of coffee, or is that just natural?
I have no idea.
I mean, I don't even, listening to him, I don't even need coffee. I'm like, I'm energetic. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go work out, run around or something. You know, I'm ready to go. He's definitely a motivational type of guy.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, people were over there yesterday. I mean, you're talking about, it was like kids and adults, like everybody was flocking to him. Everybody, you know, he's
superstar.
Also motivational, you know, and it's super positive too. And that's what I think people are really drawn to, is his positivity.
Definitely, yeah. I've actually followed him before, you know, he got back into cards, and I watched some of those videos, and, you know, it's like, yeah, go do it. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready for my day. Gary Vee's got me ready for my day.
So he started with wine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he did like wine.com, I think, or something like that. So
very cool.
And now is Graham Elliott, is he going to be cooking out there at Topps' booth? Or
It might be against our regulations here in this building, but I've decided I'm going to try to get some recipes from him.
Well, if he was cooking, people would truly never leave the Topps booth. If you have the carpet, people are taking naps or eating, get some hammocks up there.
We could do the Topps barbecue next year.
Ooh, there you go.
2020 National, I think we've got an idea. I mean, you know, start feeding people, and it's good promotion, you know? It's definitely. Just you guys wouldn't be able to serve, like, panini sandwiches, right? You'd have to stay with, like, Subway or...
I don't know what that is.
Never heard of that panini.
Yeah, I know.
Is it good?
I don't know. I've never had one, so... So we got a couple releases on the calendar for you guys, Tribute and Sterling. We're excited about those products. You can check that out at mojobreak.com. We'll be breaking both of those products on release day. Now, I know Sterling went down from a five card pack now, right? From an 18 card. Sorry, putting you on the spot. I know you told me, but
Sure.
I'm such a Sterling like fanboy nerd that I couldn't like let it spew out of my mouth right now, because that's what got me back in the hobby was Sterling. So Dan's a big fan of Sterling as
Doug,
well.
Doug, you like Sterling?
No, not at all.
Why don't you talk about it?
Yeah, I'm gonna
why don't you talk about your love.
I think I'm gonna get a tattoo of Sterling on me somewhere, because I love it so much. But I had the 2009 Trout Sterling, and it's the one.
Oh, I have that too.
The one that got away. I sold it for $25 when I packed.
Maybe I bought it from you. I bought it for $25.
Did you? That would be funny if we linked it back and it was me.
Because like I grew up in New York, and but I lived in South Jersey for 8 years as a newspaper reporter, and Mike Trout was in high school at the time, so I'm covering his basketball game, you know, like silly things, and you didn't know this kid was gonna blow up and be
right.
Mike Trout. And when he got drafted and like in 2009 when like he had cards, I'm like, you know what, I covered this kid in high school, but man, I can't believe I'm spending $25 on this autographed card. And but I bought it anyway, and I was like, it's fine, I'll just buy it. 25 seems a lot to me,
right?
But I was like, but I'll
for
buy
this
it
kid. Yeah. Wow,
so
it
maybe
been
it was you.
Yeah.
Was it on? Did you sell it on eBay?
I did.
Oh my gosh! I bought your card.
You probably did. I wonder if we could find that somehow.
I still have it.
That's awesome. I bought a mini box from eBay, you know, for $50, and you know, get three autos. And I got the Trout, and the guy at the shop at the time was like, yeah, I think he's pretty good. And I put it on eBay, didn't expect much. And I'm like, well, I was like, wow, $25 is a lot.
No, I remember because we were roommates at that time, and you came home, and you're like, man, I bought a $50 box and I sold one card for $25. I have two more autos and basically only cost me $25.
Right, yeah.
You're like, I came up.
I don't even want to know how much it's worth now.
Now I never forget that. No. I always bring it up. I'm all, man, I think that card's like $2,000, yeah, $3,000, $4,000. Who knows?
I'll never forget either.
Yeah. I still have it. I'm gonna go back into like my eBay history and see if I could see the transactions and see if it was you.
That would be funny. I'm gonna try to look too, but I think it was like what, 2011? No, it was probably
2009, 2010.
Yeah,
that's crazy. So let's switch gears and talk about Stadium Club, which is one of our favorite products to break. I know you had some photos of some of your favorite designs. What's your favorite car design? Card from 2019 Stadium Club.
So I'm trying to think. I love Stadium Club as well. So I'm trying to think of all the cards from that year. Like, I love the Ozzie Smith backflip in front of the
that's
Hall
amazing
of Fame.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I always love though the images of like the legendary players. Those are always really cool because it's a lot of times in a Stadium Club you see images that like you don't normally get to see of these guys. I'm trying to think of who some of them are this year, but it just those always stick out to me. The Harmon
Killebrew. Yeah, you tweeted that one out. That one's awesome.
On the like, because they were pushing him around, so it turns out he hurt himself. Like there was actually a story behind it, and then I felt bad. I was like, I thought he was just having a little bit of fun.
Yeah, it looked like he was like skateboarding on the exactly on the thing, and I was just about to ask you. So he got hurt. So that's why they were they didn't have I guess back then. I was like, hey, just throw him on that thing and wheel him around.
No injury cart.
So how do you guys decide the photography for that? Because it's definitely a unique set. Is it like a longer process to pick out like the best photos for that set?
So our sports editors are the people who pick out the images that go on the cards. I had that job. That was actually my original job when I worked at Topps before mm-hmm. what I'm doing now. And what you do is like essentially we use Getty images and you go through Getty images like, you know, for different products. And you're like, okay, I'm going to use this image, that image. And as you're going through the images for all the different cards, there are images that always pop out to you. Like, I can't use this on, let's say, Heritage,
right,
but it would be a cool picture for Stadium Club. I'm gonna save this one for later.
Right.
And as you're kind of, and you kind of do that, you like you enter, you'll see them, but you know it's a good one for Stadium Club, so you kind of put it to the side and like come back to it later when you have to like finish pulling the images for Stadium Club. So I wouldn't say necessarily takes longer, but there's definitely a different thought process that goes into it because you don't want just like a traditional like throwing or
right.
batting or something. Like you want something that really catches your eye.
Now, is there like a pool of photos, kind of like like a Getty Images type of thing that you guys have to kind of pick from kind of at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, we have a contract with Getty, so they have to be with Getty Images.
Yeah.
But they supply so many photos, like especially of current players. Like,
yeah.
You kind of never run out if you're looking for new photos.
Nice. Yeah, that's an interesting game because they probably take like 5,000, 10,000 photos a game and then they may not even get one picked, right? So like the photographers themselves. So
yeah.
Then they're like, wow, I got my photos on a card. So that's probably got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, we see that sometimes on social. Like guys will be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe like my picture's on this card.
Yeah.
And then they buy like 50 copies because how could you not if your picture's on a card?
Now, you said in a tweet earlier that you can't wait for the clown horns at the National.
Yeah.
Was that directed at Alan Nars?
Yes, because come on, everything is wonderful with the horn. It's like winner, Hong Kong.
It is that. Yeah, it's definitely a unique sound. You know, Alan apologized to me at the. I was like, you don't need to apologize. You had to be on the stage for the you guys' industry conference. And he's like, yeah, I'm the guy. You probably know me. I'm the loud guy at the National. And I'm like, hey, it doesn't bother me. He's like, yeah, people always tell me that I'm just way too loud. And I'm all, well, it's natural, though. You're naturally excited, and that's how you do it.
He's not loud enough.
Yeah. I love the enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's definitely real. It's he goes out there and he gets it going. So he's been doing Pack Wars for you guys, right?
Oh, yeah. It's so cool. Like, for people who haven't seen it, like, you've heard it, you've seen it. But if you haven't, like, I always tell everybody who comes by the booth, like, come by. It's an experience. You'll not forget this. It's an experience you'll not forget. There are people yelling. There are people screaming. And it's cool because, like, Alan has, like, you know, his own shtick. He knows how to do it to get people all riled up.
Right.
So it's like, hey, who's the tallest guy?
Yeah.
And you'll have somebody who has an Aaron Judge card, like, screaming in your face, 6'8", 6'8". And Alan pretends like he doesn't hear them. And he's like, oh, I have a 5'10 over here. And the kid's like, in your, he's like, 6'8". And you're like, wow. It gets really intense. But I love it. I think it's amazing.
And so, you know, we ran Pack Wars back in the day, but we had somebody running them for us. Is that like just the highest numbered card wins the from the checklist? Is that how it breaks
down?
Usually
what he does is he picks different stats. So it could be like highest checklist card, like tallest person, heaviest person, like lightest person.
That's cool. Yeah.
Best overall batting average. So you just kind of pick like, use different stats to pick on it just so everybody sort of has a chance because we do get free, everybody gets a free pack. So you get like these sample packs that we have and then you rip them open and like you get like four cards inside. So you look within your four cards of the stat that Alan's calling out at the time.
Nice. So, and you just had your 5-year anniversary for Topps, right? So it's been 5 years. How's it been? I mean, what's it from day one to now? How has things changed, or is it just kind of business as usual?
On day one, I was, like I said, my first job there was as sports editor, so I was, you know, picking the images, doing all that stuff, and now I work on the marketing team, and so like my job overall has changed from. What's cool is that I have probably more influence or feedback on products, on like overall products now than I did before, which is a lot of fun because I feel like I come into it with an eye of a collector.
Right.
And I'm able to say like, you know, collectors would love this. This would be something really cool collectors would really enjoy. And sometimes they're able to implement the stuff and sometimes they're not, you know, it's just natural. And it's really exciting that, you know, as somebody who's been a longtime collector that I can actually have influence on a product.
Now, do you guys kind of do research by watching breaks and going on the forums and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Like, we have, everybody at Topps will tell you, like, we have people who are always watching breaks, especially day one. Like, we always want to see, like, what's happening
right
now. So, like, day one breaks, like, I don't think a lot of work gets done that day. Like, usually we're just popping on breaks and, like, did you see that hit? That was cool. We read the forums because we, you know, at the same time, we always want to stay abreast of what's going on in the hobby. Like, we're not just going to, like, put out a product and then pretend like it never happened. So we're always keeping up of, like, what's great, what's not so great, what's exciting, what can we do better, and, you know, and always looking how we can
improve
overall. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably the beauty of the age we're living in now is that you guys can kind of see, you know, like online, you can see what people are saying about it, and it's all out there for you. So kind of like the product development, you don't even have to hire like testers. It's already out there for the next time that you guys are coming around doing it. Is there like a certain point where you guys are deciding for the following year? Like, hey, are we going to introduce a new product? Are we going to cut a product? Is there like a certain time of year that happens?
Yeah, I mean, it's generally like, I'd say like anywhere between like 10 months to like 10 to 12 months out from the following year. So, you know, we've already looked at 2020 Series 1 baseball. Like we're already working on that.
Yeah.
You know, we've looked at Heritage or like something like, you know, stuff that's going to be coming out within the next 10 months. We look at to see if like we're going to continue with it.
Right, right.
Usually